I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I'm sure Sunday afternoon you were feeling pretty good as we start off this week talking about some great news that Baker Mayfield is back with the Buccaneers. That is right. The Bucs locked down a deal to have their starting quarterback returning to Tampa Bay. We'll get into the details of the financials, talk about another deal the Bucs made, and also some movement at the quarterback position in the NFC South with the Falcons. So we have an action-packed show for you today, so let's get right to it. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place of PewterReport.com, SR, Scott Reynolds. Scott, kind of already feels like old news, but Baker is back.
He is, and he is a bargain.
Yes.
I'm going to call him Bargain Mayfield from now on, just because the Buccaneers have just been absolutely killing it, not just this year, but in years past, just getting steals in free agency. Sometimes the steals with their own players. Remember a couple of years ago, we were kind of like lamenting at the fact that, oh my gosh, they paid Chris Godwin $20 million a year, right? And like 4 hours later, it was like, oh, wow, that's a really good deal. Because Mike Williams got paid and a couple other guys got paid a lot more than $20 million per year. So it's amazing how you would say time changes things. But, I mean, time is like an instant in free agency. We've already seen so many deals done today that will be official on Wednesday. They're in theory in agreement today. But they can't be finalized unless it's your own players. Like Baker can sign today. Chase McLaughlin can sign today. Those are deals that can get done today because they're re-signing with the Buccaneers. But, yeah, it's just – listen, man. Here's the takeaway when it comes to this guy right here, right? It's nobody leaves Tampa. Nobody leaves Tampa. Nobody leaves Tampa. Jason Light has built a Super Bowl champion team. That's a fact. He has drafted extremely well, including multiple Pro Bowlers. That's a fact. He has signed free agents of all types. He signed the greatest quarterback of all time. The only time he had free agency in Tom Brady. He signed kind of an unheralded center in Ryan Jensen and raised some eyebrows when he made him the highest paid center. But Jensen helped change the culture of the Buccaneers, became a Pro Bowl center, helped this team win a Super Bowl. He has made trades, depth trades, Jason Pierre-Paul, Rob Gronkowski. He has even Steve McClendon during the Bucs Super Bowl run.
Right.
He has even signed value free agents to one-year prove-it deals. Shaq Barrett became the NFL's leading sacker, broke the Bucs single-season sack record in 2019, playing on a one-year, $5 million deal. He signed Baker Mayfield to a one-year, $4 million deal. The one underrated thing about Jason Light, nobody leaves Tampa. This guy re-signs everybody he wants to re-sign. Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, Bargain Mayfield, Chase McLaughlin, they all came back. The next guy, Levante David, he's coming back. Okay. So there's a lot that goes into being a great general manager. Jason Light checks all the boxes. And this is not, you know, me being a cheerleader for Jason Light. This is just me spewing facts is really all it is. This is me calling it like I see it. And nobody leaves Tampa. It's an amazing track record this guy has. The only admitted guy that he wanted back, and I think I've mentioned it before, is Russell Shepard, like wide receiver 4, special teams ace a couple years ago, went to Carolina to be wide receiver 3. And it's just an opportunity that Russell couldn't really turn down because of playing time. And Jason really liked Russell Shepard. So if that's the only guy that got away, how many times has Lavonte David re-signed, right? He re-signed Gerald McCoy in his first year. You know, he re-signed Ndamukong Suh, re-signed Tom Brady. I mean, he and Mike Greenberg and Jackie Davidson have done an absolute fantastic job so far in free agency, spending money to keep their best players in Tampa. That's how you win. You keep your best players, then you add to it. And the Bucs will be getting, they'll be getting to that next phase, adding to it in a little while. Not yet. They're not going to make splashes today. But the big splashes, Matt, are already in-house. Nobody leaves Tampa.
Nobody leaves Tampa. And once again, the Bucs front office puts on an absolute masterclass of just what it takes to get the job done over and over again. I love everything that you just said, Scott, because I don't know what else Jason Light and this front office has to do in order to get the attention of everybody else around the league, whether it's media on a national level, whether it's other front offices saying, damn, we got to go like the model that the Bucs have, because everything you said is correct. The people that they brought back, the path they had to travel between different financial situations, between everybody wanting their bag and still getting their bag. And year after year, we say, oh, they re-signed this player. And wow, they got him for less than what we would have imagined or what we would have thought of.
Yeah. I was going to say real quick, Brian S., Jason Light doesn't do contract negotiations. Calm down, Phyllis. It's Mike Greenberg who does the heavy lifting. Well, guess what? That was one of Jason Light's best moves ever. Keeping Mike Greenberg, who was a holdover from the Mark Dominic regime.
Yeah.
And then promoting him to vice president of football administration. And then promoting him to assistant general manager. Again, I'll say it again. Nobody leaves Tampa. Not even Mike Greenberg. Jason gets credit for that.
Yes, he does. And it's one thing when the Bucs are able to re-sign, let's just say like Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean over the past couple of off seasons, where it's a cornerback, still a very important position. But this season, we were talking about quarterback and wide receiver, and not just any wide receiver, the greatest offensive player in Buccaneers history.
Right.
The fact that they got it done, I mean, year after year with these signings, I mean, when was the last time, and we look at other teams now, like kind of the Falcons with what they just did with Kirk Cousins, what the Saints did with Derek Carr. Yeah. And year after year, we say, wow, like this team just panicked and overpaid for this guy or that guy or made an insane trade that just completely depleted all of their resources. When was the last time Jason Light signed someone to a multi-year deal and it like didn't truly work out? Probably Russell Gage. And if that's like the bar of quote unquote mistakes that Jason Light has made in free agency, that
I mean, to be fair, he made a lot of mistakes his first year, right? Michael Johnson, Anthony Collins. Yeah, you're talking about like after he learned from those mistakes.
Yeah, like,
first
you know, in the last 5 years, let's say, or at least the Brady era, there's been really no mistakes at all. And if Russell Gage is the worst one, I think everybody can live with that because there are way worse mistakes. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, early on, there were some growing pains. I think Jason was the first one to admit that. He said it at Mike's press conference where he said, I did a lot of things wrong my first year as GM of the Bucs, but Mike Evans was the one that I got right. And it did take him a little bit to find his footing. But once he has in the last, let's just say 5 years, really since Bruce Arians was hired to be the head coach, it's been absolutely spot on with his signings and just moves that needed to be made. And obviously the big one that came out yesterday was Baker Mayfield. They signed Baker to a 3-year, $100 million deal with a max value of $115 million and $50 million guaranteed. So looks like big numbers, but when you kind of break it down after that, it's really kind of more of a 2-year deal with guaranteed money. And then obviously if Baker lives up to expectations or the contract or whatever it may be, the Bucs obviously still have him in place for that third year, and they would have to decide whether they want to pay him $40 million at that time. And obviously, they'll have way more of a baseline and film to look at and just a history to watch as well, where they can kind of make their best decision. But I love this deal for so many reasons. I mean, there'll be some maneuvering and tinkering with the salary cap and things like that and the cap hit for Mayfield's contract. But it is an average value of $33.3 million per year, which, again, we said, like, 35 might be kind of where the Bucks might start saying, no, we don't want to do that. So they get it under that $35 million, less than what Kirk Cousins is getting, less than what Derek Carr is getting overall with their giant contracts. And Baker gets paid. He gets a lot of guaranteed. Bucks don't. It's a lot of money, but they don't like completely break the bank to the point of they cannot maneuver and move on with the team if they eventually want to move on from Baker Mayfield. So I think it's a great deal for each side. I think Baker's going to be very happy, and we know the Bucks and their front office is very happy.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you look at Baker Mayfield reigning, and this is a ex post tweet, if you still want to use that term, that Pewter Report came out with earlier today. Bucks quarterback Baker Mayfield, reigning NFC South champ and a Pro Bowler, will make less at $33.3 million than both Saints quarterback Derek Carr at $37.5 million and new Falcons quarterback Kirk Cousins at $45 million on average. Absolute bargain. Plus, Mayfield has more postseason wins than any quarterback in the NFC South. And that's the whole goal, right? It's you know, you could win. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you win your, since we're in March, right? You're talking some March Madness coming up. It's like winning your conference championship, right? Maybe as an upset. Maybe you weren't the favorite. And so you get in the tournament, and then you lose your first round game to like Sam Houston State, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, congratulations, you won a tournament that was basically meaningless, right? So it's getting in the postseason. What do you do when you're there, right? And listen, Baker Mayfield's not a perfect quarterback, right? He had some clunker games this year, and he was hurt for a couple of those games as well. But you look at, as the season went on, right, that Packers game, that Eagles game, right? I mean, he was dealing. Right. I mean, you see glimpses of what this guy can become. And I think the important thing is, if you can eliminate two bad games a year and then turn two good games into great games, that's just an even better season for Baker Mayfield. And let's see if he's got that potential. You know, again, Adam Schefter says Kirk Cousins has made over $230 million in career earnings from his time in Washington and Minnesota. Now signing a four-year deal worth $180 million in Atlanta with $100 million guaranteed. Okay, and I tweeted out, all of that for one career playoff win. I mean, that's something, folks. I mean, listen, I think Kirk Cousins is going to make the Falcons better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I think the Bucks are still the team to beat in the NFC South. This is one from Sheehan, and I'm not going to butcher the guy's last name. We'll call him Sheehan J. I just realized that the Falcons passed on paying 26-year-old Lamar Jackson $200 million over 4 years so they could pay 36-year-old Achilles tear Kirk Cousins $180 million instead. Ouch.
Yeah, and I think a couple of other things to look at, and I do want to reiterate, like, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback and will make the Falcons better. No doubt. We're not, like, sitting here being like, wow, what a horrendous move by the Falcons.
Good move by Atlanta.
Sure. The money, obviously, for it. Yeah. The money obviously is astronomical. And if they don't win, at least I would say if they don't at least get to like the second round of the playoffs, that's a tough start to that contract for Kirk Cousins. But I think two things that maybe hasn't necessarily been overlooked, but two things that I think are really important into this whole scenario is, one, Kirk Cousins is coming off of a serious, serious injury.
Yeah.
And I think so many people, because you get hyped up in like the fantasy booking and, oh, could you imagine this guy with this team, like how he could fit? And yeah, in a perfect world, Kirk Cousins in his prime, yeah, that's pretty damn good for Atlanta. But we've seen it here in Tampa with Shaq Barrett and with other players with serious injuries. O.J. Howard to go back to a couple of seasons. Like, never came back really from that Achilles injury. And obviously every player is different. But Kirk Cousins is 36 years old, right, coming off of a major serious Achilles injury. So just expecting him to pop back up and be fresh again and good to go almost right out of the gate, I think is a little silly to just think he's going to automatically be great for Atlanta early on. Yeah. The other side of this is, what was the knock on Kirk Cousins for really his whole career? Is that he doesn't perform well in big time games? He can't win in the primetime games. He's Mr. Sunday afternoon, because when the cameras aren't on him, that's when he does best. And when you look at Kirk Cousins and his whole career, very respectable career for sure. But when he was with Washington, they were never the premier favorite to win the NFC East and make a deep playoff run. It was always correct, either the Cowboys, or obviously the Eagles have had success lately. Even the Giants had a couple good years in there. When he went to Minnesota, obviously a really good team, but for a long time, Aaron Rodgers was the cream of the crop of that NFC North division, and the Packers were the team to beat. And then finally, Aaron Rodgers leaves, but the Lions were on the come up. And last year was really the first year where it was like, wow, Minnesota has a chance to really go and do this thing. And I know they won the division a couple of years ago. What happened? The Giants beat them in Minnesota in the playoffs. It was highly documented on the Netflix show, Quarterback. Yeah. So the first time Kirk Cousins really had a chance to be the guy on the team in their division, he got hurt. And I'm not blaming him for that, because, you know, that's a freak thing. But he's never really shown that he can prove it and do it in the moment. So now all of a sudden, everyone's going Atlanta. They're going to be the team. Well, the pressure's on Kirk Cousins once again, and he hasn't delivered in those moments before. Now all of a sudden, he's going to do it. And by the way, I think the Bucs are going to absolutely love this, that they are the underdog once again. And people want to pick Atlanta all over them. That's right in the DNA of Baker Mayfield. Oh, Jason Light. We saw that video at the combine when he when he met that reporter. It was like, hey, nice to meet you. Yeah. I had your article on my bulletin board.
Yep.
This is music to the Bucs' ears. You want to count them out again? Yeah. Are you crazy? They just won the NFC South Division the last 3 years in a row. Now we're counting them out already because they brought back everybody that they wanted to get? Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is Kirk Cousins, right? Derek Carr, right? I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's the third highest paid quarterback in the league in the NFC South. I mean, yeah, a great point, Matt. That's a fantastic point. And you know that there are people just waiting to anoint the Falcons, just waiting, and national people. And they're going to, and that's fine. I made an absolute bank in week one last year on my bookie. A fortune by picking the Bucks. Who? What was the line on that, Matt? Like Bucks were +7.
Yeah, I think I would say like +700.
Yeah, the money line was big, and I bet the Bucks huge, because I looked at what the Falcons did the Vikings did the previous year, going 13-4. So many of those games, I think they set a record, right, for like most wins, most comeback wins, or wins within
5 points or something like that. Just a stat that could not be sustainable for.
Correct. And it was, and some of those wins were just fluky, right? Yeah. I mean, they get credit for the win. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. Like, that Buffalo game was crazy. That was unreal. Bananas.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, it was unsustainable. So I'm thinking, go up there in week one, the Buccaneers get a win. I felt it. I felt it like I felt the Bucs going into New Orleans as a heavy underdog in 2018 with Fitzmagic, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. And they throttled the Saints, 48-41, whatever the final score was in that game. I just knew it. And I just thought that a little bit of smoke and mirrors with that Vikings team going 13-4 very much reminded me of the Buccaneers in 2010 going 10-5 with Josh Freeman and the guys. When I think they had 4 or 5 comeback wins in the fourth quarter against like 4 or 5 of the worst teams in the league at the time. We're talking like Arizona, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and the Rams. I mean, it was the 4 teams. Just smoke and mirrors, right? Like they And we'll see. We'll see what Kirk Cousins does. Drake London's not Justin Jefferson. Kyle Pitts is not TJ Hockenson, right? They have a better running game now than they did last year with Madison, but I don't know. We'll see. We're also going to see something that we love to do every stinking Monday, unless we forget. And then you guys, you know, get unhappy about that. And we try not to forget because we want you pewter people to be happy. It's called
Roll Call. That's right. We do this every single Monday on the Pewter Report podcast. We love interacting with our fans as much as we possibly can. So what we do on Roll Calls on Monday, if you're new to the show, thank you for watching. At 4:20 on every Monday show, one of us starts going on a rant or a diatribe about the Buccaneers, anything that we're typically feeling in the moment. And while we're talking about your favorite team, if you want to put up in the chat where you are watching the show from, we will put it up on the screen. Just like Charles here in Bushnell, Florida, who's also drinking Arctic Vibe or Celsius. Nice. So that's awesome. So if you want to start putting in your locations, Scott is going to start talking about the Buccaneers, and we will take it away from there.
Okay. So a lot of different ways I can go here. I'm going to start. I was going to say something about Kirk Cousins. I'll save it for later in the show. Let's talk Lavonte David, shall we?
Okay.
All right. So he's the next guy up. Now, Lavonte is probably thinking, all right, I played really well on my one-year deal, and I deserve a pay raise, and I don't think the Buccaneers are going to dispute that. I think Lavonte is going to get a little bit more of a bump. I think he's going to get more money this year than he did last year. Remember, he signed for $4.5 million, and then there was an easy incentive that he earned that Mike Greenberg and Jason Light put in there. They're like, okay, we're going to make this $7.5 million deal, Lavonte, but it's going to help us from a cap standpoint if we make three of this million as an incentive. So they did that, and Lavonte even had a better year. 4.5 sacks, led the team in tackles again, forced fumble, 5 pass breakups. I'd love to see him get another interception. I think Lavonte's due for another pick. It's been a while. But great player, and he probably wants a two-year deal. Right, he's now 34 years old. He sees Mike getting a two-year deal, probably wants a two-year deal. But here's the problem with a two-year deal, and I think that they're going to end up getting a one-year deal done with Mike. I'm sorry, with Lavonte, even though he might want a two-year deal. At some point in time, you fall off the cliff, right, as a player, especially once you get into your 30s. I witnessed that firsthand with Derek Brooks and in 2008, which was his last season. It was an ugly fall. I mean, he could not run anymore. And I think he had a hamstring injury at the very end of the season and just couldn't run. I mean, he was done. And the Bucs ended up cutting him, Mark Domenech ended up cutting him, and he was ticked off about it. He said he could have gone elsewhere, but I don't know if that was the case, but he didn't, right? So he played all of his career with the Bucs. The problem is if you give someone like Lavonte David a two-year deal, and listen, Lavonte has openly admitted he's contemplated retirement. Like he's thought about it. It's either I'm coming back to Tampa or I'm going to retire. Nobody knows what his play is going to look like in 2025.
Yeah.
Right. If you sign to a two-year deal. So if this is the year he starts to slow down and fall off the cliff, then what is that situation look like for Jason Light? Okay. Now he's got to do one of two things. He's either got to cut a legend, which he does not want to do.
Nah.
Nobody wants to do that. Or he's got to ask a legend for a pay cut. Because more than likely, the second year of that deal is going to have more money stacked in it. And that's not exactly a good look. It's not a good look from a pride standpoint for Lavonte David. It's not a good look for Jason Light doing that to a legend. So why even get in that situation to begin with? I think the Buccaneers are interested in doing a one-year deal. And remember, Mike Greenberg started this whole one-year deal at the end of player's career with Rondé Barber. Worked out pretty well. Rondé got to leave on his own terms after he played the last season. I think it was 2012 for Greg Schiano. And And then he walked away, didn't have to get cut, whatever, right? He played the last year at safety, had a good year, but, you know, father of time was catching up. So I think you're going to see Lavonte David come back in a one-year deal. I think in his mind, he wants a two-year deal. But if I'm Tampa Bay, I hold firm to a one-year deal because you're not 31 years old like Mike is going to be. Mike's 30. He'll be 31 in August. You're 34 years old, right? You're further on down the trail. Father time is catching up to you. Mike is running faster than you. So it's going to be a while, I think, before father time catches with Mike. But with Lavonte, I think it's going to be a one-year deal. But it might take a little bit of time because I think Lavonte was kind of wanting a two-year deal out of this, especially seeing after Mike get that two-year deal. And, like, listen, everybody wants to be loved and have that long-term option and stick around a little bit longer and have that appreciation. The problem is when you get close to your mid-30s, not your early 30s, father time's coming for you. And so sign the one-year deal, Lavonte. Get that deal done. And if that's the case, then this will be tomorrow's show. Okay. So it's either going to be tomorrow's show or it's going to be Wednesday's show or Thursday's or whenever he decides to sign. But that could be tomorrow's show. In the meantime, I'll just throw this graphic up because we have it. Money McLaughlin is back with the Bucks. So where do you want to start today, Matt? We can talk about Mike Evans. We can talk about Baker. We can talk about Money McLaughlin. Or we can probably start with some super chats, shall we?
Let's get to those super chats. Thank you guys for patiently waiting. And great turnout in roll call today as well. We'll give some personal shout outs in a little bit. But we cannot keep these super chats waiting anymore. Thank you to Dominic Tarantino for this $5 super chat. Dominic says, shout out to SR for having two of his pillars still standing. LOL. Also, shout out to Jason Light, one of the best things to ever happen to this franchise. Yeah, Scott, I think it was you that brought up the idea of putting Jason Light in the Ring of Honor, or someone brought up the idea.
Yeah, I tweeted it the other day. It's like, it's one thing to get like the recognition from the league. And
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't know that he's ever going to get that. Jason likes it. He's a great interview. He's personable. He goes on Good Morning Football. He talks to the media. He's got good relationships. The national media, though, you know how it is, Pewter people. They always overlook Tampa unless Brady's here, right? It's like,
yeah,
little Tampa. And that's not Miami, right? It's just little Tampa in Florida. And, you know, okay, fine. The Bucs are still going to be in the playoffs. They're going to force you to talk about them, right? They're going to win enough games, win the South, go to the playoffs, contend. And I think they're going to be a better team this year. They're going to force the conversation. But Jay Slight's really never in the conversation for the one of the top five GMs in the league.
That's crazy.
And I can't do anything about that, Matt. Neither can you. I mean, we talk about the guy's exploits. And trust me, when he screws up, we write about it. We talk about it. We report it. He's not perfect. There's no angel wings and no halo over his head, okay? He makes mistakes. Every general manager does. But there comes a point in time, and we started the show with it, nobody leaves Tampa. The draft picks, the value free agent signings, the legendary signings he's had, the trades, the re-signings, the Super Bowl championship, the four straight playoff appearances for this team, it probably going to be five. I mean, that streak is getting just as impressive as Mike Evans' 1,000-yard streak, Matt.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying, I think that this guy is on the trajectory of being the first and probably only deserved general manager to be in the Bucks Ring of Honor when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about it with the moves that he made to get the turnaround of this team, winning a championship. Obviously, you got to have a bit of a resume to get into the Ring of Honor, and
right,
he got the championship. He got the division titles now as well, which helped pad that. So, yeah, I think Jason Light should absolutely being the Bucks Ring of Honor, because the more that they win, the more it just adds to it. So
yeah,
I'm with it. Thanks to Kyle Miller for the $1.99 super chat, who says, I'm cautiously optimistic for 2024 and 2025. Yeah, I think everybody should be. Not even cautious at this point. I think at least just optimistic, because you know for the next two seasons, you have Baker Mayfield and you have Mike Evans. More specifically, you have Mike Evans. So
right. When
you have those players at your disposal, again, they're going into year two working together with each other. And it was a new offense last season, had to work out some of the issues just with the offense, not between each other. Obviously,
right. You
heard what Mike had to say about Baker the other day at his press conference. So more continuity, more healthy Baker working with Mike, who wants to continue his streak. And Mike said, like, I can still be better. I need to get better in certain areas. So I think Mike is as motivated as ever. And yeah, Baker got the first big payday of his career. And sometimes you worry about, oh, well, will they start slacking off? I don't see that with Baker, because he's been on the other side of playing poorly, and he doesn't like that. He's like Kirk Cousins, the anti-Kirk Cousins. He does not like that. He wants to make sure that he continues to play at a high level, because more accolades come with it. So obviously the Bucks got to figure out some other things like edge rusher and the succession plan after Levante David down the road. But I think the Bucks, you look around the league, they're in a pretty good spot, all things considered, compared to the other 31 teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we talked about, let's get to the super chat. I'll bring that up. Does this mean Trask isn't going to start?
Is he with trade bait? That's the question.
I think he sticks around for this year. I think the Bucks will still draft a quarterback to compete with him for the right to be the future backup to Baker. But yeah, I mean, listen, injuries can happen at any point in time. Doesn't have to be a contact injury, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins towards Achilles, just running around, right?
And
that happens sometimes. You got to have a good backup. If not, you know, your season's pretty much down the tubes. And we don't know if Kyle Trask is good or not yet. We haven't seen him really in live action situations. So I think Trask is still around as the backup. He's not going to start unless there's an injury. But Baker did go wire-to-wire 17 games in the regular season plus two postseason games. And Matt, I think we've said it before, this bears repeating. The reason why the Buccaneers have had this NFC South supremacy over these last 4 years, although they didn't win the division in 2020, they did beat New Orleans at New Orleans to advance to Green Bay, to advance to the Super Bowl. So you can pretty much say they still ran the South that year.
Yeah.
Tom Brady didn't miss a start for 3 years. Baker Mayfield did not miss a start last year. So that's huge. That's huge. And you have to be a little concerned with Kirk Cousins' body if you're an Atlanta Falcon fan, 36 years old this year, coming off an Achilles tear. Like, what's going to happen next, right? He's not a mobile guy.
He takes a lot of hits. Scott, again, the Netflix show Quarterback, they spent like a whole segment on him getting hit and going, after he got hit. It was, I felt bad for him, obviously, because he's dealing with that pain. It was, like, pretty entertaining. And I don't mean, like, I'm happy that he's getting injured and stuff like that. I meant, like, you just really see the intestinal fortitude it takes to not just be an NFL player, but be a quarterback and stand in that
pocket. He's also, like, listen, I love the guy as a person. I mean, he was a really endearing guy. Like, it's a great, great character on that show, right? And it was great to have Marcus Mariota, Patrick Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins, three completely different quarterbacks, completely different people in different situations and scenarios. It was funny because Kirk Cousins is a little holier than that, which I got no problem with whatsoever, but he's kind of like, gosh, darn it. My ribs, holy smokes. He's not swearing or anything, but to each their own, but he definitely won me over. I became more of a fan after watching the Quarterback. Less of a fan now that he is in Atlanta.
Let's get to this super chat. Thank you to Fear Factor 1906 with the $1.99 super chat. Where is Jordan Whitehead? A question that has been asked by a lot of Bucks fans. So Jordan Whitehead is a free agent. He was with the Jets, but now a free agent. I don't know who Jordan Whitehead's agent is, but I don't know if he needs one because he's just been self-promoting himself on social media, posting a lot of videos of his highlight tapes, both with the Jets, a lot with the Bucs, even went back to Pittsburgh as well. I think what hurts Jordan Whitehead's case and maybe helps the Bucs if they want to go that route of bringing back Jordan Whitehead is there are a lot more defensive backs that have become available in free agency, which hurts Jordan Whitehead because other teams can go get other guys. It brings his value down a little bit. I know some projections on like Pro Football Focus and a couple other websites, they have Jordan Whitehead at about, I think it was like $6 million per year, which, you know, it's not insanely expensive. Right. But
Geno Stone, by the way, the Ravens safety just signed a two-year deal, or he's going to sign a two-year deal worth $15 million with the Bengals. So
So there you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously the appeal of Bucks need a strong safety. Jordan Whitehead, many have felt that the Bucks have never been able to replace Jordan Whitehead at strong safety. So why not bring him back? Had four interceptions last year. So I still don't consider him as like the handsiest of defensive backs or safeties. But, you know, did prove it last year with four picks and obviously
didn't
helps
he have
in
three
that
in one game.
He had three in the first game of the season.
Pretty good.
So maybe too bad that the Bucks don't play the Bills again this
That's
year.
Andrew Adams-esque right there.
It was,
three picks in the game.
Yeah, and then he had one against the Raiders. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't hate a reunion with Jordan Whitehead, but I also would be fine if the Bucks went in another direction. I'll tell you this, though. When I see a Celsius energy drink, my direction is straight forward to it as quickly as I possibly can. I'm running the 40-yard dash to get a Celsius
energy drink. Matt.
And more specifically, the Celsius Essentials, the newest line of Celsius energy drinks. These are the tall boy cans of Celsius. They have 270 milligrams of caffeine, and they got some awesome flavors like Blue Crush and the Dragon Berry. So make sure you check out where to find Celsius Essentials, or if you want some of the OG flavors of Celsius, the Cucumber Lime, the Sparkling Water, Melon, Sparkling Orange, Fuji Apple Pear, the Strawberry Lemonade. I can go on and on all day with all the great flavors. If you need to know where to find a Celsius or a Celsius Essentials, go to the store locator on their website, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest location where you can pick one up. Could be a local Walmart or a health and fitness store or 7-Eleven, or it might just be your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love Celsius and you want to get more and you want to get in bulk so you're not making so many trips, I understand. I got you. Go over to Amazon, do the subscribe and save where you can get it in bulk. I'd recommend getting that variety pack because variety is the spice of life. And you've heard me rattle off a number of flavors of Celsius. You can set it up on Amazon to get sent to your place of residence whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain now. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Real quick, want to give a shout out to some people from Roll Call today. Another fantastic turnout, so appreciate all you guys. Hello to Sean Wallace, watching from Pensacola, Florida, the home of the Usos and Roman Reigns. Don Hayes from Burton, Mississippi. Andrew over on the West Coast in Las Vegas. Dritz.
Wait, you say West Coast?
Well, I mean, it's west from here.
They're not on the coast, though.
Well, yeah, they're not on the West Coast. They are West. Yeah, they're not on the West Coast. They are West.
All right.
Usually when I say West, I just say West Coast, even though.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Bucks don't play there, so. Dritz 924, watching from Duluth, Minnesota. Fully bucked out today. Coworkers were sick. It's funny to see. Kim Bodo, also out west, but not on the coast. Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Love Catherine Springs.
Laboda from Dunedin. Mm-hmm. Andrew J. Purple in Fort Myers, Florida. And last but not least, Richie P. is on the run in St. Pete, on the run from the West Shore Mall Security.
Run, so, Richie, run.
Yeah.
Run.
Thank Richie. You guys. Couldn't get to everyone, but we had a much, much larger. About the same turnout, but always a large turnout of
We got Drew in here from Manchester, UK, too, from across
there.
The
we go. International as well. So shout out to all you guys. Shout out to the super chats that are just rolling in too. Thank you to Joshua Finland for this $4.99 super chat, who says, now with both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones being free agents, could the Bucks look at either one of these RBs? I'm surprised that Aaron Jones got let go, because it was kind of expected that A.J. Dillon was, but Jones, I think, would be a little bit more appealing to the Bucks. But, yeah, I don't know. Running back markets are always so weird. I mean, you think you're never going to pay a running back, and then the Eagles do what they did with Saquon Barkley. So, interesting tightrope to walk.
Yeah, and I know people love to see their team being active in free agency. The Bucks have already made their splash. They're going to continue to jump in the pool, but it's probably going to be like little ripples, not the big cannonball splash. Okay, so what Tampa Bay wants to do now is they want to let this initial wave of free agency hit the shores and crash, and then they're going to start combing the sand for some buried treasure, right? Some treasure that's washed ashore that didn't get picked up. And these are the value signings we're talking about. Now, the great part about some of these value signings, Matt and Pewter People, is you're getting some pissed off players, some players that didn't get the money they were hoping or expecting to get. Okay, because this is free agency is like musical chairs. There's X amount of teams that have all the money. There's X amount of teams that have needs at your position if you're a free agent. And let's say there's five really good pass rushers and there's four teams. I'm just saying hypothetically, four teams that need them. One of those guys is going to get left out. And then he's not going to have the market that the other guys did. And that happens at a lot of different positions. So if you're patient and you wait, you get some really good bargain players. You get guys with chips on their shoulders that come in. Go back and listen to what Shaq Barrett said about his 2019 season. I came here with something to prove, right? He was highly motivated. Boom, 19 and a half sacks, parlayed that into the franchise tag, parlayed that into a long-term contract worth around, $18 million per year? Baker Mayfield came here, $4. He was not happy about making $4 million a year. He was pissed off about it, right? Grateful for the opportunity, pissed off at the circumstances, right? So what did he do? Parlayed that into a three-year, $100 million deal. It's essentially a two-year deal, but still, I mean, $50 million in guaranteed money, betting on yourself. Yeah. So when you get those types of players, you get guys that are betting on themselves, something to prove, coming here hungry, right? And they don't get the fat cat syndrome. And it just makes for a good work environment when you got a guy coming in that's ready to say, thanks for the opportunity, Jason. See you next year at the bargaining table, because my price tag is going to go way up. And Jason's like, absolutely, brother. We'll see you then. You know, that's what the Bucks want to do. They want to pay really good players that they have signed. So be patient. Enjoy Baker Mayfield and Chase McLaughlin and Mike Evans and soon to be, hopefully, Lavonte David's up next. Antoine Winfield Jr., back with the franchise tag. Tristan's going to get his big extension. These are big-time contracts we're talking about here. The Bucks are not going to make that huge splash in free agency, but that's okay. You get another Baker, you get another Shaq Barrett. It's better than wasting a whole bunch of money on a guy like $10 million a year, Russell Gage, that did absolutely squat here in 2 years.
Yeah, spot on. And I think it's a great situation for the Bucks to find those people that like need to prove it and have to prove it. And there's proof in the pudding, because they've done it before. By the way, speaking of the Packers, they're going to sign Josh Jacobs. So that's why they released both of their running backs, because they're going to sign Josh Jacobs to a four-year, $48 million deal. So once again, running backs all of a sudden getting paid. Thanks to Kathy Gillespie for the kind words. Appreciate that. And a great question here from Revfish. Thank you, Mark Fisher, for the $4.99 super chat. SR, which era has been more fun for you, Dungy and Gruden or Arians and Bowles? Exciting times.
Wow, that's a really interesting question, because I just marinated in this for a quick second before Matt teed it up. Here's my brief response. It's all four for different reasons. And I love how you conveniently left out the Schiano and the Levy Smith and the Raheem Morris years. We're talking only winners. Okay, I gotcha. All right. So with Dungy, it was kind of reminded me of my time at Kansas State, where the Wildcats were absolutely awful when I got to school there. And Bill Snyder came on the scene and turned the program around and, you know, made Kansas State football a thing. Dungy was the same way in Tampa, right? The lovable losers in orange and white with the Bucko Bruce, right? I mean, he ushered in the red and the pewter and the new logo and the new helmets. And, you know, Hardy Nickerson was re-signed. It was his first major re-signing as head coach. Took Sapp Brooks, Barber Lynch all to new heights. Built a defense that was exciting. The A-train, just the excitement that Tampa felt in 1997 when this team was on the rise was special. And if you're an old timer like me, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? When Gruden came in, it was swagger. It was an offense that the Bucs just didn't have with Dungy ball, where they could put up points via the air with Brad Johnson, with Keyshawn Johnson, Keenan McCardell, Joe Jurevicius, Michael Pittman, and Allstott were a nice 1-2 punch. So they finally had a balanced a team with offense and defense. And Gruden was very much a player's coach in that he challenged the defense right out of the gate. Well, a great defense is score touchdowns, man. I need 9 touchdowns out of you guys while my offense takes a while to come around. And they did that. The thing I loved about Gruden is I learned the most football from Gruden, like our personal interactions, the film sessions. His coaching staff was wide open to the media. I developed relationships with Mike Tomlin, Joe Barry, Rich Bisaccia, who I saw in Indy, you know, Rod Marinelli, Monty Kiffin. So the openness allowed me as a media professional and a football fan to just ask anybody any question and learn and grow. Arians was awesome because he kind of brought that Gruden-esque swagger back that had been missing for so long.
Yeah.
And came in with a coaching staff that was just as good as what Dungy had or what Gruden had. And you just felt like, okay, this is a credible franchise again, right? There was one player away. They made the switch at quarterback, got Tom Brady, and all of a sudden the Buccaneers got taken to heights that we had never seen before, not even under Gruden or Dungy when Brady came here. The only crappy thing was COVID. It didn't allow us to have that access, yeah, you know, that we wanted and all of that. With Bowles, it's been interesting because I really like Todd as a person. And I think we're seeing him grow a little bit. We saw him take some steps as a coach, and I think that's exciting to see. He's an underdog, right? I mean, people are kind of betting against this guy. Some are rooting against the guy. And, you know, he's still standing. He's taking some bullets and he's still standing. And some would say hanging on by a thread, but it's an exciting team. It's not Tom Brady anymore. The roster is really kind of flipped around. There's still some good players, but there's an influx of new players that he and Jason Light have brought on. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, this Todd Bowles era, it's almost kind of come full circle where it's a little bit Dungy-esque, where the Buccaneers, they're kind of the underdogs, but they're kind of on the rise again. Everyone's counting them out. And so there's something fun about that too. It's fun when you're the favorite and you got Tom Brady and you're covering that front runner team. But I don't know, Matt, you've been here the last, you know, two coaches. What's your take on this?
Yeah. I mean, the Arians era was just so fascinating. I mean, bringing in Tom and things like that, but Bruce just being up at the podium, spouting out like however he felt, and like he wasn't afraid to say what was on his mind. And granted, like he had an advantage that many other coaches didn't have just because he was older and he was very accomplished in his coaching career, having won a couple of NFL Coach of the Year awards. So
Bucks just, sorry, I hate to cut you off, but we always break for breaking news. And Matt, we got some today with you and I. The Bucks just re-signed Greg Gaines to a 1-year, $3.5 million deal.
All right.
That was reported by Ari Maroff. Not a surprise. Great addition last year. I think he brought more pass rush to the table than Raheem Nunez-Roches did. And he played with Vita Vea. So you're keeping Vita Vea happy by keeping his guy here, too.
Yeah. Continues that Washington Husky pipeline. And to your point, Scott, he was able to show a little bit of prowess getting after the quarterback. He's not going to be a major pass rusher, but right, a little contributions here and there was good. He was solid in the run game. And yeah, I'm a firm believer too. Like, he's very solid as a backup for the role of the Bucs. I'm also a firm believer of like making your star players happy. And if Vita Vea, your team captain, your best nose tackle, your best defensive lineman, is friends with the guy that is still producing, why not keep him around? Keep everybody happy. It's like with Pat O'Connor. Pat's great friends with Vita Vea. He's very tight with Tristan Wirfs. Those are two of the best players on the team. Why not re-sign a glue guy that'll make your other guys happy while Pat O'Connor can still contribute to the team? You know, seems to always make a special teams play or something of that nature. So, yeah, good signing with Greg Gaines. Glad that he'll be back in Tampa. He's obviously in the mix on the rotation on the D-line. And, yeah, keep it steady.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we had some breaking news. And
it's
been a while since you and I have had some breaking news.
I can talk about Bruce Arians on another podcast or Todd Bowles. Loved covering Bruce. Obviously, so many great quotes and headlines and learned a lot from him as well. Todd Bowles, really appreciate his sense of humor. Like, I love Bruce's sense of humor. Todd's is quite different, and I love both of them for different reasons. And I've really enjoyed watching how Todd has navigated his own way of being a head coach. Like, yes, he learned from his time in New York, but obviously replacing Bruce, two very different personalities, even though they get along. And just seeing how the players respect Todd Bowles so much, even when he's come under fire, and how he's willing to back up his guys, I think is a very commendable trait. So, just cool to be around these coaches. Yep. For sure.
We have another super chat here.
We do. Thank you to Super Straight Cash for the $4.99 super chat, who says, Trey Taylor, Ed Reed's nephew, will be available. Does anyone on the PR staff like him?
That would be the safety, right, from
Air Force.
From Air Force, yeah.
Yeah.
I've not watched him enough to really have an opinion on him. I think he was in a mock draft. Was he in yours or was he in Bailey's?
He must have been in Bailey's. Might have been in Bailey's. He was not in Bucks Battle Plans. But he ran a 4.5, 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
Kind of projected as a zone slot, nickel corner type of player slash safety as well. So I can't say I'm like crazy familiar with him, but I mean, good connection to have.
Probably
with
a D3 guy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm reading the room right here with him. A couple of things real quick. This has been a fast hour. And listen, I put it in there before. We're gonna update the tracker here the minute I get off this podcast. I'm gonna update it with the Greg Gaines news, but I just put the tracker, the Peter Report Free Agency tracker. This is the place to go. Check it often. We'll have the latest rumors that we hear, the updates. We'll have all of the signings as they happen, tell you who's left in terms of Bucks free agents that may or may not re-sign with the team, a current salary cap number after the Buccaneers make these moves and they've been reported. We'll let you know where the Bucks stand in terms of salary cap space. If there's any contract extensions, restructures, that's in there as well. So check out the Peter Report free agency tracker, the Bucks 2024 free agency tracker. It's going to be updated regularly throughout this next week and probably into next week as well. So make sure you check that out. Listen, we're up to 13,415.
Yes, we are.
With our Peter Report TV subscriber base, and we appreciate that. Our goal is to get to 14,000 by the draft. You guys really helped us out with a big time push last week. Let's do it again. We've got almost 1,000 people watching the show live right now. If you have not subscribed to Peter Report TV, our YouTube channel, hit the button. It's all we ask you to do. Hit the button. And if you want to hit notifications, boom, you can do that too. Every time we have a new video up or we go live with the Peter Report podcast, we'll have we'll send out a notification for you as well. So there's that. The other thing I'm going to tell you is you may or may not need a house, or you may have to sell a house. It's springtime. And what happens in the springtime is people get on the move, right? They look for new jobs. They have new opportunities. And that's also a great time to maybe move, right? And if you want to move in around the state of Florida, you want to move to Florida, or if you're going to move out of Florida, well, we hate to see you go. But Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group, that's the realty company that is the official realtor of Peter Report and the company we recommend highly. Eric is a huge Peter Report and Tampa Bay fan. So let the conversation start there. Get to know Eric. Give him a call. His personal cell number, I'm going to give it to you. He's a great guy. You can talk a little football. He will definitely talk some football with you.
Yep.
That's a good thing because we're all football fans here. But you can give him a call. His number is 513-907-4271 or visit the Houses in FLA website. It's housesinfla.com, housesinfla.com. That is the Eric Gross Group with eXp Realty. They've got a network of over 85,000 agents across the country, so Eric can help you on both sides of the transaction, selling the house and buying a new house or vice versa. So no matter where you are in your homeownership journey, go to the website, housesinfla.com. Check out their inventory. Check out their open house schedule. And sign up with the Eric Gross Group. Make him your free agent of choice when it comes to realtors, the official realtor of Peter Report.
Got another super chat to get to. Thank you to Trey Alderson Cloutier for the $10 super chat, who says, Jason Light and crew just saved likely millions by getting the Baker deal done before the Cousins deal.
Yep.
Did the Falcons prefer Cousins over Baker, or did they just go with him since he was the second option? Great second part of that question, and we'll never know. And that's why it was so important to get that deal done, whether it was with Mike Evans, which they already did, or whether it was Baker yesterday, to get it done before Baker hits free agency. It eliminated the bidding from all the other teams around the league, including a division rival. And if anything, regardless of whether or not it works out with Baker, which obviously worked last season, it still forced the Falcons to pony up a lot of money for Kirk Cousins. So another tip of the cap to the whole Bucs front office for getting it done before the start of free agency.
Yeah. Speaking of Kirk Cousins, I'm going to put the story I did in the comments. You can read it. I don't think that this makes the Falcons the NFC South champions automatically. They got better today? Sure, they did. But still have to go through Tampa. I've got some statistics there. The last two meetings have not been kind for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. The Buccaneers beat them here in Tampa. You might remember Tom Brady got the better of Kirk Cousins, who was sacked six times in 2020. And then, of course, in the...
Started that win streak, too.
That's right, yeah. And then in week one, you had... Kirk Cousins gets sacked twice, lost two fumbles, and had an interception.
Christian Isian. I'm sure he remembers it vividly.
Yeah. So Todd Bowles and the Bucs have had some success against this guy. So good read. Check it out. It's kind of blowing up right now. Falcons fans don't like it, which means you'll like it, being a computer person. So check it out.
Thanks to realtor David Zussman for this $4.99 super chat, who says, why the Bucs don't show any interest in Jeremy Chinn or C.J. Gardner-Johnson when we need a strong safety? Why not try to sign Chase Young?
Well, it's early.
It's free agency just started. So to say that they're not interested in any of these guys, especially someone like Jeremy Chinn. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to want a bargain. They're going to want somebody. And it might be Jordan Whitehead. If there's no market for Whitehead, I mean, I think they're open to having him come back, but it's not going to be at $6 million.
Yeah, and why jump into it right away where you can wait a little bit longer? There's always this is the first wave of free agency. Correct. There'll be a second one. There'll be a third and fourth ones later on, like as we go into the summer. So why jump into the pool right now when you still get that tan going? And then when you feel a little bit warm, jump into the pool and let that price go down just a little bit more for some of these guys.
Yep, you're exactly right. And listen, with all this money that is just flying off the shelves, I really hope that these players do the smart thing and call Immuni Financial for some financial advice.
At Immuni Financial, we help you live in the now.
Congratulations. We're so happy
for you. Thank you.
And even though the now may feel very different, you still need to plan for the future.
How's retirement treating you?
Oh, just fantastic.
I know I say it all the time, but you really got to come up to Colorado.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We can help you develop that plan to keep you on track so you can still prepare for tomorrow, today. Immuni Financial. Plan ahead. Stay ahead.
Immuni Financial, folks, they've been serving clients since 1980, not just in Florida, but across the country. Give them a call. Give them your business. Tell them Scott Reynolds from Peter Report sent you. Call them at 1-800-868-6864 or visit them on the web for more information at immuni.com. Been with Immuni Financial for 3 years now. They've done a great job with my investments. I'm thrilled. Highly recommend them. Also, highly recommend you check out our social media, Matt.
That's right. Please follow us on X, Facebook, and Instagram at Pewter Report. And of course, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Pewter Report TV, where we have the podcast 4 times a week, various content throughout the season, whether we're at the Bucks facility, at great events like the Combine. We got a lot of reaction and other thought pieces as well, some opinions such as when Baker Mayfield signed with the Bucks yesterday, or I put out a video today about the move with Chase McLaughlin. So, please like, subscribe, leave a comment after this video is done. Appreciate everybody for watching this show. As Drew Sherrod says, Scott, that was a Mark Cook caliber transition. Bravo.
I try. He was the best.
Yeah, he was the best at it. We're all playing for, you know, second place after it. But, guys, great show. Awesome turnout. Thank you so much for watching. We're going to talk more about Bucks free agency tomorrow, see what other deals come about in that time. So that'll do it for us on today's show. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out. The bakery is open.
Baker Stayfield.